I can't really do shit because they got me handcuffed.
It's okay, mommy.
I can't believe they just did this. I'm fucking...
It's okay, I'm right here with you.
What we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours.
Yo, welcome to the Cold World Podcast. How y'all doing out there? Yo, it's been wild, son. It's been like a wild last few weeks, a crazy year, however you want to cut it, slice it. First off, RIP to Nate Thurman, hoop legend. Man, listen, so when I started doing this podcast, I definitely wanted to make sure I was talking about current events and things like that. I also just wanted to talk about general things that were like fun stuff, things in pop culture that were happening, have a good time. And these last few podcasts have been pretty heavy. This one might be a little bit too, but you know what? We're going to talk about something fun in addition to all this crap. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make sure of that. I'm going to try to make this snappy, man. I'm not doing the Periscope and the Facebook Live today just because, I mean, one, my house is a mess. Two, there are no guests. And three, yeah, my house is a mess. And so I didn't really feel like having to do extra stuff right now because a Negro is tired. You feel me? Like, it's been a long week. It's been a long weekend. Published a bunch of articles this weekend. And we're going to jump into that in a bit, man. So let's start off with, the students, man. So let me back up. When I watched Auden Sterling get killed on camera, and you know, I have my friends Scotch with me. The McAllen is definitely with me today. Cause it's been that kind of week, man. So when I saw what happened to Mr. Sterling, I started writing. And I was like, listen, I gotta do something. Like this is crazy, son. You know what I mean? Like, this is just, like, they just executing us on camera and nothing's, like, happening, right? And so I started writing up some stuff that I wanted to do. And then I saw the Philando Castile piece the next day. And so I went back and changed and altered some stuff. And I had this thing kind of, I had a plan for what I wanted to do and how I wanted to approach this with young people even before the Dallas thing had happened. And so what I did was I reached out to some powerful black folks in our city, because it's a lot of us here. You know what I mean? Like, and it's interesting, right? I just remember things that my grandmother said. I know I'm not going to say it right word for word, but like, what I've noticed is that white folks, or just folks in general, not necessarily just even just white folks, but a lot of people like to shirk the power that they have, right? Like, they want to come off as not being as powerful as they are, or they say things like privilege, like it's a bad thing, right? And I just remember, you know, my grandmother was calling me stubborn. I don't know what it was, but I am stubborn. Like, my mama called me stubborn all the time. She called me a lot of stuff with love, but stubborn was definitely one of them. And she was just like, you know, you're going to have a lot of power one day, and you better use it to help your people. And that's something that just always stuck with me. Like, it's hard for me when I'm watching, like, powerful people of color try to act as if they don't have power, or they give it away, or like, you like one of the things when we was slaves and poor, and I mean, a lot of us still are, you know what I mean? Like, one, like, you wanted power, you know what I mean? You wanted respect. You wanted to be able to take care of your family, and power and privilege helps you do that on some level, right? So anyway, like, I have enough power and privilege to do something. I think everybody listening to this podcast at the very least has that. So we put together a conversation with the superintendent of Oakland Schools and some students, some black students. I wanted black males. And the reason why is because I've heard from Don Lemon and everybody from CNN, and I've Megyn Kelly from Fox, and, you know, you heard from all these people about the tragedies that's happening. But I ain't heard nothing from the young folks that got to walk up and down these streets every day, right? Like, I feel like if we just sit back and listen and kind of see how young people are processing this stuff, I think we learn a great deal. I don't think it's about us agreeing or disagreeing what they say. I mean, these are their feelings, right? And so I wanted to create that venue. So, you know, we put it together, and these kids were amazing. And they surprised me in the sense of... I mean, just where they were coming from, you know, with their perspective on everything that they saw happening with the two brothers being killed on social media, and then the stuff that happened in Dallas, and just their pleas for things needing to change with how police treat black folks, but also that killing police officers wasn't the answer. I mean, they did a really, really good job, and I just learned a lot listening to them, and... And I think that's leading to more work, right? So, and I also want to shout out, I mean, everybody that I reached out to was just so gracious and so helpful. And these were some powerful, busy people. And we were able to put it together pretty quickly. And so for everybody, anybody that got a chance to watch that, thank you so much. If you haven't, you can just go to my Facebook page. It's all there. I'll find a way to get to you if you have some issues finding it. And so, I mean, but that was just really important for me to make sure that those folks had a voice, because I feel like I didn't really have much of a voice as a young person. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm romanticizing that the wrong way, but I just didn't feel like that. I mean, I just grew up having to kind of take the things that I wanted, because it just... Every time I've waited on something, it just has not ever gone that way. So I wanted to make sure I was I was part of the solution for those young people, as opposed to being a barrier and becoming part of a problem. And also, I mean, it's those type of things that spark young people to want to get involved more. Like I remember when there were folks that had like conversations with me when I was younger. I remember on like the shadow day when I was in high school, and this lawyer was just telling me, man, you can do this thing that you want to do. Like, let's just figure out, you know, what the steps are that you need to take. And up until that point, it has just never been explained to me so clearly. So I do think that exposure to different opportunities and putting you in different situations, you know, I think it plays very deeply into a young person's psyche. So hopefully, I mean, we'll see what those young men end up doing. I think that, you know, they have resources at their disposal. They have me to have, you know, superintendent to have folks that were there that would love to like wrap their arms around them and support them. And I mean, they got the whole city of Oakland for the most part, because Channel 2 came out, Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7, newspapers came out. So, I mean, I really want to thank my city for, I feel, supporting me and supporting this cause on something that meant a lot to me on a personal tip. You know, going to the next piece, you know, just why this is still hot, you know, then you have what happened in France, in Nice, right? And so I think most people, I think I've said on this podcast, I'll be in Paris at the end of this month. And so, you know, so everybody was like worrying, like, yo, you know what's going on out there, right? Like, you still going? It's like, check this out. I'm a broke Negro out in these streets, yo. I pay for these tickets. There's no get back on that money. I'm going to France, right? So, but just watching the horror that was happening and unfolding there, just watching all these all these people and these images, man, like, our world is in an interesting, you know, place right now. Like, it really is, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. It is truly crazy, right? And so, you know, my hearts and my thoughts and my prayers just go out to those people. And, you know, and I'm hoping that nothing pops off while I'm over there. Nice is not, it's not close to Paris or whatnot. But Paris has had its own issues. But I gotta go sit in the cafes where Baldwin sat. I just gotta do that. It's kind of worth the risk to me. So I will be going to go do that. But I wanted to make sure I said something about these folks. And then pop culture reference. Now this craziness, this sadness. You know what I mean? I'm gonna put that on hold for a minute. Damn it. All right. I went to the movies because y'all know I like the movies. I rode solo to the movies because y'all know how I get down. It's good scotch. Check it out, though, yo. Like, first off, before I get to what movie I saw, I went to the movies, yo. I've never paid this much for a movie. Keep in mind, I was alone. I went by myself. It was a me date. It was a date night for Charles in the middle of the day. Like, my ticket cost $18.49 for one ticket. Listen, you can call me cheap. You can say frugal. You can say selfish. You can say whatever you want. You can't even take somebody out to the movies no more. Yo, do you know that if I would have took a young lady to the movies, I would have been, when you add in food and drinks, I would have been well over $50, $60 for a movie? Man, I got Apple TV at the house. What is you saying? Listen, man, I can wait 3 months because movies come out quicker. And rent it for $5.99, maybe even $4.99. It might even be on sale for $14.99. This is possible, okay? I paid $18.50 for a movie for one person. It wasn't a premiere. There wasn't a red carpet. The stars of the movie did not show up and shake my hand, and I took pictures with them in front of funny wallpaper. That didn't happen. They just took my money. I could have bought some. Anyway, listen. So, fine, whatever. So I went to go see Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters has been rebooted, and I love movies. And you know, a lot of things from my childhood is getting redone. And so I watched the movie. There was a lot of controversy around, you know, the men being swapped out for women. I had a good time. Like, it was a fine, the movie was fine. It wasn't the greatest movie. It wasn't the worst movie. And I was about to do like a review of it. I was about to give my thoughts on like Instagram or something. Then I stopped myself and was like, you know what? Well, I was about to, and then I saw these little girls. It was like four or five little girls. And then I looked up. It was a lot of little girls in that theater, right? And, like, I heard these little girls talking about who they were. It's like, oh, I'm this character. No, I want to be that character. Well, I'm this character, right? Little black girl, like, identified with Leslie Jones's character. You know what I mean? Like, that's dope. Like, that is dope. So it don't really matter how I feel about the movie. It doesn't matter if some fanboys is upset because, you know what I'm saying, you didn't rehash it and have Venkman and all those people. You know what I mean? Like, it's not for you. It's not for me. I mean, it's there for me to enjoy. But that stuff is like super impactful, right? And so the old movie ain't going nowhere. actually is cheaper than the new movie. You should go. I guarantee you it's less than $18.49. You can probably get them both for less than what I paid for that new movie. But part two ain't that good. But you see what I'm saying? Like it was so dope. I didn't go see Frozen at the movies. I do know the hysteria that happened with Frozen, right? But this is different. This is like almost a superhero movie where little girls have people they can look up to. And then I caught this clip of Leslie Jones on The View, and she's a big fan of Whoopi Goldberg, and she was talking about when she saw Whoopi. Like, she's talking about why she was such a big fan. And, you know, if you know Leslie Jones is, like, the tall black woman that's on Saturday Night Live. She's, like, real aggressive in her comedy style. I think she's funny. I think she's hilarious. I love her. And, like, she, like, broke down. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was talking about why Whoopi Goldberg was so influential to her. And she was just like, Daddy. Like, she just remember as a kid, like, Daddy, she looks like me. Like, she looks like me. Like, that's... like, come on, man. Like, that is, like, that's dope. You can have Ghost, you can have it. You can have it. You can have Ghostbusters. Like, I was a little salty when I saw, like, Ninja Turtles get rebooted. And then I said, Charles, you're a grown-ass man over 30. You need to really, like, reevaluate what's going on in your life at the moment if you're upset about this movie. All right? Let them little kids have Ninja Turtles. Yo, Ninja Turtles are still there. It ain't going nowhere. Like, that Ninja Turtles 1 and 2 will always be there. It's just going to be there for you, okay? It is. This is me telling myself that. Like, it is. It's fine. So, I hope that movie is a blockbuster. I hope that they get a ton of sequels. I thought it was funny. I thought the women were talented. I love Kate McClintock's character. I loved it. I just thought she was hilarious. And she had this moment in, like, this gunfight where she was dope. And she had, and I wish they would have actually had more moments like that. But that stuff is going to get etched into those little kids' heads, boys and girls. So enjoy Ghostbusters. It was fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a good time out. It's not really super adult-y. So, I mean, it's for kids, you know? And so that's that. Now, the last thing was, so I wrote this piece today, and it was called, and I called it Frankenstein's Monster. And the way in which I came about doing this piece was, I wrote it for the podcast. Like there are some things when I really want to say something like important and I don't want to mess it up. Like I write it out like I did when I was doing a radio show. I don't read it, but I would like just write out my thoughts so I could have it there. And if I need to glance over, I would glance over. And so I did that, and it turned. And I was like, you know what? Let me just make it an article, right? And so I did that, and I made an article, and I published it on a bunch of different places, and it's up on my Facebook page. But I know a lot of people don't read what I write, right? There's an audience of people that actually do follow everything that I write, and there's an audience of people that actually listen to the podcast, and there's a small group in between both of those groups that actually do both, right? And so, if you have read it, forgive me if you haven't. I'm doing you a solid, and maybe you should go check out some of the stuff I spent time writing this thing. So there was an article on Yahoo, and it was a video. It was Katie Couric interviewing D-Ray, and they were talking about Rudy Giuliani's super crazy, you know, neoconservative, like, Black Lives Matter is the racist group, right? And so, you know, and D-Ray kind of shot it down or whatever. But that's not even the part that I'm harping on. Like, that's just, you know, everybody said and did what they were supposed to do based off the types of who they are as people, right? You know what I'm saying? But when I got to the comment section, yo, is so wild. It is so crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's saying stuff like, they deserve to die. Like the disdain for us is like, if they stop killing each other, if they don't, if they just worried about black on black crime, like get all of them. Like it was so insidious, right? It was so insidious. And I read, no lie, yo, there was like a good string of 15 straight comments that I read, and they were all like that. Like not even like, oh, I think that, no, it was like insidious. And the anonymity of the internet makes people so bold, but it brings out their true feelings, right? And like, this is how people feel about us. This is. And I know, let me just go through what my response was, right? I don't want to cut that off, you know? But this is what, is this what y'all think about us? So, you know, being, Black Lives Matter is just currently being painted as a hate group with all of this recent violence against officers that's just being erroneously placed on them. It's just, none of this stuff has had anything to do with Black Lives Matter, you know, so to speak. But this article was just, the comments, man, it was just crazy. So white folks, like, just tell me, like, is this how y'all feel? Like, real, like, keep it real with me, seriously. Like, I just read these comments over and over of how I'm viewed in America, and there were just so many of you that feel that, like, all of those black bodies that's no longer just deserving of their souls. Like, when people start to pull up the criminal records of, like, you know, trying to find stuff on Sterling and whatever, like, when you try to incriminate somebody after they died and they didn't have to die, like, that's just crazy. You know, if you don't understand that, you don't understand how disrespectful that is. How disrespectful would it be with these officers that just got killed if I was like, well, before I give them my sympathy, I need a record of every arrest that they've ever made. I need to know if they ever cheat on a spouse. I need to know. Like, that's crazy, right? But we do it every time a black person is killed. Every single time. And so are there just so many, like, of y'all that not only feel justification for, like, these atrocities of these officers, but adoration for the murders of these black lives that you sit in silence in my presence, but then, like, rejoice at home? Like, how deep is that? How deep is this for you? You know what I mean? Like, you see a nation of a people mourning, and it's just like, I don't understand that. Like, that's so wild. So my question is, like, what type of police reform can happen if so many people just believe that they just didn't see anything wrong at all? They don't see anything wrong with those two deaths. And there's so many people that feel that way. So to live in this country, let me get this right. Like, I gotta, to live in this country and lead as a black man, you just have to be perfect. You gotta be Christ. Your skin gotta lighten up as the days go. And you gotta do that thing that folks say, which is transcend race. What they kept trying to say about Ali, he transcended race. Like, that is so disrespectful. It's so disrespectful to say that to somebody. Like, I can't do that. I am deeply, deeply flawed. You can just find somebody I've dated before, and they'll tell you he's a deeply flawed man. You know what I mean? Like, I am, you don't need to dig into my life. I will tell you, it is bad. I mean, I'm not Richard Pryor, you know what I'm saying? But it is, you know how Richard Pryor would just kill himself on stage for people? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that for you. But, you know, we are struggling to be better human beings, right? So, like, you can't, like, I can't do that. So, like, this whole transcend race thing, like, I just watched the OJ documentary, and that's what he tried to do, right? He tried to he did not want to be black. He just wanted to be OJ. And, you know, it's interesting, right? And I think a lot of folks go hard on OJ, and whatever, for good reason. I'm not here to save or rep for the OJ, right? But you can see how the way that the documentary was laid out, like, it started out innocently enough. He was a kid from the projects in Frisco who wanted to make it out of there, and he was talented, and sports was his way. You know what I'm saying? And then he wanted to, like, have a better life. And the deeper he got there, the less he wanted to be associated with black people. You know? And, like, America did something to his mind. You know what I mean? And so when I hear transcend race, I think of that type of stuff, right? I think of Sammy Sosa showing up 8 shades lighter. I think of Lil' Kim showing up 8 shades lighter than what she was, and, you know, surgeries, right? Because in this country, we do something to you. It just does. And so I'd rather die first. I can't do that. And nobody can. Nobody can live up to the standard that this racist society has, like, put on black folks if they want to lead, if they want to lead certain type of lives, right? And be respected. It's really hard. It is really, really difficult. And I leave work often quite upset. And that'll be a different show. I love my job. I love what I do. And it's not just this job. It is just work in general. You feel like you constantly under assault. And maybe I'm not. Maybe we aren't, right? But you just so paranoid after a while. You know what I mean? Like, because you've been everything you intake, everything you see, everything you read, everything you hear reinforces that you are not, you ain't it, son. Like, you are not a full citizen in this piece. And so my heart and my soul, like, hurts for these lives that got taken, right? Like, all of them, right? Like, I value life, just period, point blank. That's just the truth. But you're not going to insult my intelligence by acting as if you don't know what spawned these attacks. Like, let's not do that. Let's not be that disrespectful that we don't know why these former black soldiers are snapping and going after cops. I don't condone it. I don't like it. It is not the way forward. I want to say all of that stuff unequivocally. Like, that is not the answer. But let's not act like we don't know why these people are snapping. Come on now. I was watching CNN. And he's like, we need to figure out what happened. We need to figure out why. You saw what happened. We all saw it. We looked at it. We watched it together over and over. Time and time again. We saw it. So you just won't be allowed to look at your hands and not see the blood that you just soaking them in, yo. Racist America, you did this. Like, you are Frankenstein. This country is Frankenstein. And that carnage that we are experiencing, this rage, this acting out, this lashing out, that's Frankenstein's monster. That monster didn't ask to be activated. That monster didn't ask to be built. Like, that's what I'm, like, this country is Frankenstein, and you created this monster. Like, you flipped that switch. You fed life into the conditions that created this rage. Like, you have been building this monster since 1562. And that is the year that the first slave ship, which was named the Good Jesus, left England's harbor, went to Africa, and then went to the islands. Them first batches of slaves. And so I'm a faithful dude, but I definitely believe that faith without works is dead. And so I'm just trying to do my part and push others to do their part. And our parts can be very different. There are some people whose part is they need to go out there and march. It's some people that's putting together the march. It's some people that got money that's putting money into that stuff. There are some folks that are teachers and educating people about what's happening. There are some people that can sing and that can dance, and that's how they are expressing themselves. There are people that can write. You see what I'm saying? Like, there is something that everybody can do. Like, what are you doing? But I want to be very clear, because those comments, and people can say you don't pay attention to those comments or whatever, but I'm not that guy. Like, I don't need you. You don't don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining, son. Like, I see this. I see it. I travel around the country all the time. Like, I see how shifty people get. It be shifty, yo. Like, I have to accept that a part of me and who I am makes a lot of people nervous. Whether I'm speaking in a very articulate fashion and it shows that I'm a smart person, or I'm a little bit more relaxed in my environment, and like, either way, you scared. Either way, you scared. And I got a saw for you being scared, so I don't die. But I want to be clear, though. My blackness did not kill those people. Black Lives Matter did not kill those people. The way I walk and talk and speak did not kill those people. Frankenstein's monster killed those people. All of those people that we are talking about, every life that I have mentioned, Frankenstein's monster did that. And while we like to take the moral high ground and be able to tell other countries what to do, how to treat their people, we will go into countries and remove people when we feel like they are not treating their citizens right. We like to do that. We have celebrations about it. But how are we solving for our own uprising here? Like, we cannot keep treating people this way and not accept them to respond. I have said this over and over and over again. The oppressor does not get to choose how the oppressed fight back. When I share with y'all the book that we read in our first book club meeting, The Fire Next Time, what Baldwin was saying was, take my warning. Please heed my warning around the relations in this country. Because when the next one comes, it's not going to be gentle. It's going to be fire and rage. Nobody wants to see. I don't want to see that. But it has become a crime to tell the truth. We got a lot of work to do. Anyway, you can read the article without me butchering it like I just did. If you go to energyconverters.org, One Oakland, it's going to be in a lot of places. I'm going to probably put it up on Huffington Post as well. But or Medium, it's in a few different places. But at any rate, man, you know, hopefully next week is a fun, just, we have a good time. That's what I'm looking forward to. Because this other craziness, they can keep it, man. I'm not here for it. But at any rate, man, continue. Please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. See the humanity in people, regardless of what their color is, regardless of where they live, regardless of their status. Like, see the humanity in somebody tomorrow. Find something good in each person you run into. Compliment 10 people tomorrow. Which is interesting because I compliment people every single day. And I think it makes them uncomfortable, right? But whatever. But compliment some folks, man. See the humanity in people. You can find me on Twitter and IG and Snapchat at CCole the Third. That's at CCOLE. Facebook.com is Charles Cole the Third. That's Charles Cole III. And I will see you all next week, God willing. Peace.
I can't believe they just did this. I'm fucking back. Ah!
It's okay, I'm right here with you.
What we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours. Let's take a moment to stand and observe the hell we live in. No matter how hot a fire, it never melt the system. Some could help but didn't, we fill up the jails and prisons. You don't believe that's the business, only yourself you're kidding. But now they're killing our people, it's all on television. Them cops went home to they people, turn on the television. I tell my son, careful what you learn on television. He 15, he don't know what I mean. Don't know about yet, doubt, suspect, outset to controlled outlets from those who don't wanna let us out yet. Land of the free, the home of the brave. Nah, can't let us be, we've grown from slaves. It's there if you wanna read, I mean it's all on the page. Say it's police, I just know when it's race and that's thrown in our face. Maybe I'm lost, signs are vital to me. Sandra Bland didn't come off as suicidal to me. Y'all play around thinking we on safe ground. They killed Tamir Rice and his rights right on that playground. Eric was selling cigarettes, I can't breathe. It was said the bigger threat he was a nigga, I bet. But listen, last year I went to church with my mother Faye. We sat behind Miss Gardner and it was Mother's Day. She sat strong inside, I cried for her. My eyes tucking the water as I was hugging his daughter. Philando Castile told him he had a weapons permit. Was murder moments after without a complexion permit. That's bloodshed with his daughter in the car. I'm only upset for our sons and daughters tomorrow. Question, how many cities we gotta march through? Signs we gotta hold up, or are they trying to provoke us? Cause when them nines load up and landmines blow up and the crime don't slow up, they'll chime in and say they told us. Or is it only a crime when done by pole us? Fool for thought, my mind will run off of cold cuts. Raw and evident, out and was off, heaven sent. Recorded negligence, they just ignore the evidence. It make it seem as if we in your way. Maybe the government is governed by the NRA. That will make a disease capital and need a capital. They even legalized weed for the capital. But be black, selling the street, they get mad at you, casually clap at you. It's Uncle Sam saying taxes due. Our epidemic systemic, Black Panther fist at the Olympics, they just condemn it, hold up. Said the Klan marched in Piedmont, even worse they were protected by police arms. And Baton Rouge is pictures of them in riot gear. It tells me they know it's plenty reason to riot there. Yet we just keep on praying while still feeling it. Racism still alive, now they not concealing it. It's revamped, shackles are gone, now we get house slippers. And all us millionaires are the house niggas. I ain't the only ones naked to urban outfitters. White people seeing us murdered, they even down with us. They saying let's make America great again. I'm curious, what time would you like to place us in? Were we degraded then? Did they enslave us then? Or is it ignorant for me to even say again? If it's civil war, then what are we civil for? If this is freedom to y'all, you better get us some more. Here you go.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit.